What's up, sports fans? BetOnline is your number one source for the NBA and NHL playoffs this season. Every stat, every matchup, and even live odds while the games are being played. When the game's over, head on over to our online casino and get in on the game of blackjack or poker, or unwind with one of our over 150 slot games. Head to the website today to get in on the action. Don't forget to use promo code BELIEVE. That's BLEAV. Use promo code BELIEVE for your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. Bet online. The game starts here. You know, here on the ML Sports Platter, I like to cover a wide range of topics. Even during your team's offseason, there's always a story to break, right? Including free agent signings, coaching changes, draft picks, and more. If you've been listening to my podcast for a while, you'll know I'm a proud Bonnie. St. Bonaventure University gives its students a solid foundation and has trained many journalists that you know and love from ESPN and other leading media organizations across the globe. Their online Master of Arts in Sports Journalism builds podcasting, interviewing, and research skills needed in a changing media landscape right now. Students learn how to follow high professional standards as they tell nuanced stories about the sports we love. You don't need writing or broadcasting experience to start the program, just simply a passion for the profession. There's no application fee or graduate exam scores to apply, and you can complete the program in less than 2 years. Yes, less than 2 years. Get in touch with an enrollment advisor today at sbujournalism.com to learn how you can become a sports journalist and a Bonnie. That's sbujournalism.com. SBUjournalism.com. The ML Sports Platter is back with you all over the major platforms. Make sure you download, subscribe, rate, and review, and subscribe to my YouTube channel at ML Sports Platter as well. We are brought to you by Liverpool Physical Therapy and Stanley Law Offices, as well as the Allen Angus Pub, the shirt that I'm wearing, and Stumbling Monkey Brewing Company. I love going to Cooperstown. I've covered the induction every year now since 2004, which is amazing. I got my 20-year anniversary coming up here, and we're going down to Cooperstown on the computer right now to talk to our good buddy John Shostakovsky, the VP of Communications and Content. I love my friends down in Cooperstown for years and years and years. Jeff Idelson, Craig Muter, Brad Horn, the list goes on and on. John, you're a part of my group, buddy. How are you?
I'm doing great. Thanks so much, and it's an honor to be a part of that esteemed group, Mike.
Yeah, it's a tremendous group, and you're busy there, man. Summertime in Cooperstown, there's nothing like it. Your role, first of all, communications and content VP, what's it mean? Get into that, your involvement with the Hall of Fame, your background. Tie it all in together, if you don't mind, to lead us off, and then we'll get into what was a great event last week at the Hall of Fame with the East-West Negro League situation.
Yeah, sure thing. So, yeah, I've been here. Actually, Jeff Idelson hired me when Brad Horn left for other opportunities. And so I've been here at the Hall of Fame for about 8 years, overseeing communications, PR, content, a lot of what we do with voting, and then working with Hall of Famers at various times, but especially as we work towards our induction weekend each year. And so it's a really special place to be, but really a unique opportunity where really every month we have a different schedule, a different set of items we need to get done. And it keeps you on your toes a little bit, but no place better than Cooperstown. I worked for my hometown team, the Boston Red Sox, for about 10 years before coming.
Interview
here.
Over.
No, I'm kidding. I hear that a lot, especially.
I'm just kidding.
There. But no.
Well, I mean, we'll gave it away here. Come on, you know.
Exactly. Yeah. Don't look too closely in the background of my photos here. But you know, 10 years working in PR for the Red Sox, and before that, a minor league Red Sox team. So I'm in my 20th year working in baseball, and it's been dream job after dream job after dream job, and I cannot believe I've landed here at the Hall of Fame.
Yeah, it's amazing, and time flies too. I hadn't realized 8 years already, too.
Man, isn't that incredible? That's
crazy, man. Yeah. So last week, a great event. I couldn't make it down, but the honoring the Negro Leagues, right? I did see Harold Reynolds host the event on MLB Network. I just watched that a couple nights ago, and I hit record. I said I have to watch it because I'm watching it. Whenever I'm not there, I'm like, oh, you know. But Sabathia's there, and a bunch of Hall of Famers came back, right? And you had Ryan Howard there, and you had Adam Jones, I think, won the home run contest. And you're at Doubleday Field in the history, the packed streets, the stadium's packed, Hall of Famers to be, CC Sabathia included, by the way. Just recap the weekend a little bit. It was great to have all that, but come on, man, the Negro Leagues are amazing, right? And so we're seeing more and more light shining on the Negro Leagues, and I have more to add to that, and you know where I'm going with the stats and all that. Yeah. But can you just recap the event for everybody who maybe missed it, and just how important it is that you guys have that there? I remember it used to be, you know, a different exhibition, the Hall of Fame Classic. This is awesome. Is it here to stay? And give me some highlights from the weekend, because, man, did it look great.
Yeah, I've been, again, working in baseball for 20 years, and I cannot remember an event weekend like the one we just pulled off as this massive celebration of Black baseball history. And the game was kind of the centerpiece of it. We sold out Doubleday Field and just had an absolute blast with about 30 former star-level Major League players representing, you know, Negro Leaguers. They were in authentic Negro Leagues wool jersey tops. And we had about 15 Hall of Famers coming back to support the events as coaches. And it really was the enthusiasm that shined through. We're talking about some of the best Black ball players of the last generation. David Price, CC Sabathia, Ryan Howard was the game MVP. Curtis Granderson also hit a home run.
Yes, he did.
The list goes on and on. Prince Fielder had a pretty good showing as the runner-up on the home run derby, but as you said, Adam Jones took it home. And the show that MLB Network put together, it's going to be on our YouTube channel soon, youtube.com/baseballhall, so people will be able to watch it. But that really captured the enthusiasm that these guys had about coming to Cooperstown to celebrate the Negro Leagues. This game was called the East-West Classic, the Hall of Fame East-West Classic, and it was a tribute to what was the annual Negro Leagues All-Star Game, the East-West Classic, for about 30 years. And not only was this an All-Star Game with the best of the best Black ball players coming together, but really this was like a World Series combined with the Super Bowl, combined with, you know, some of the biggest cultural moments, let's say the Grammys or something like that, for the Black community on an annual basis and sometimes twice a year. This was a really important moment on the Black sports calendar. And so for us to be able to bring the game back and highlight those stories and those legacies, it's really important. That was just one part of an incredible weekend. We also unveiled a brand new statue in the museum of Hank Aaron, and his widow Billy was on site and delivered an incredible and moving speech about you know, Hank and the way his legacy has been preserved. So if you come to Cooperstown now, you'll see that. And you'll also see a brand new exhibit that we opened the same weekend called The Souls of the Game, Voices of Black Baseball. We've had exhibits here in Cooperstown about Black baseball and the Negro Leagues for decades, since the 1970s, which is early 70s is when the first primary Negro Leaguer, Satchel Paige, was elected to the Hall of Fame. And so that storytelling has evolved over the years. And it was time, you know, in the last 5 years or so, we talk about the Negro Leagues different, but we talk about Black baseball different overall. And there were some really important pieces that we wanted to make sure we got across in this new exhibit that really hadn't necessarily been a part of our storytelling in the past. Some of those are really, it's, I'll tell you, this is the, what's different about this exhibit is that it's told from the perspective of those who've lived the Black baseball experience. And we're talking about all the way back to the earliest days of the game. One of the things we're trying to make clear is that Black people have been playing baseball as long as baseball has existed.
Right.
So we go all the way back to the 1800s. The Negro Leagues, of course, are an important part of that. But we also go into Jackie Robinson has an entire section in this exhibit. And we go into the reintegration of baseball, you know, across the American League and National League, the consequences for the Negro Leagues. And then all the way up to today, what are the continuing challenges and situations that Black ball players face? And what is MLB doing to kind of uplift the baseball world to Black America? So there is a lot of incredible material in here. There's a lot of great interactive elements. You can actually hear from 30 people who've lived this experience, and including Derek Jeter and different Hall of Famers, and talk to them about, or you know, ask them questions and hear their answers about different topics. So there's a lot that we're really proud of, and we're so excited for people to start seeing this summer about this exhibit.
Our friend John Shostakovsky with us, of course, the VP of Communications and Content at the National Baseball Hall of Fame and Museum here on the ML Sports Platter, presented by Welch and Company Jewelers and Brewerton Ace Hardware. Cool Papa Bell, man. Buck Leonard, John Lloyd, Josh Gibson, Oscar Charleston. It just recently happened, John, that those stats, I mean, it was official, I guess, because it was talked about that they were doing it and they had implemented, but then they really put the cherry on top that it's official, that they're a part of big league stats now. I mean, it's the major leagues and it's the Negro leagues, right? Now, how are you guys doing this? Because there's plaques in the Great Hall where there's players who played in both the Negro leagues and the big leagues, major leagues, right? I know the Hank Aaron thing, he played for a short time, I think maybe a month, month and a half, and only had three more home runs, so he wouldn't be the all-time home run king over Barry Bonds, even though some people think he is for the obvious reasons. But then there, you have like a Monty Irvin. You have other players who played in both leagues. So how are you guys approaching this? Are you changing plaques? Are you... How does this take place? There's so many balls in the air, but I think you understand the main question here is with Negro League stats and Major League stats eventually now kind of equal and all in the same ballpark, pun intended, how do you guys approach the museum, the plaques, the numbers, which baseball obviously lives by, John, as you know, they live by the stats, that sport.
100%. And first off, I'll just say, What an incredible moment to have on this continuum of recognizing Black baseball history, to have now the MLB record books include the names that you mentioned, Josh Gibson, Satchel Paige. The list goes on and on and on. And it is interesting. You know, history is constantly evolving in a way. The lens of history, the lens that we look through, changes over time. So that's what's great about this museum. The museum is a great place. We have three floors of exhibit spaces where we can delve a little bit deeper into these types of conversations, not only talking about this change that MLB is making, but also making sure that, you know, the labels that we have written are, you know, are connected to this news and adjust if needed. So that's something that now that the information's out, our museum team's looking at and going to make sure in the museum that we're, you know, that we're aligned with what the MLB record books state now. In the plaque gallery, it's a bit of a unique situation because really when you think about it, and there's actually a sign when you go into the plaque gallery that says these plaques represent the individuals for, you know, essentially how their accomplishments were known at the time of their election to the Hall of Fame. So we don't intend to go back and recast, you know, 40, 50 plaques to include slightly different stats, because for us, it is important that the plaques reflect the history from the time that the election took place. And then the other issue that we would have when you kind of think about it from a practical standpoint is that, yes, the Negro League stats are now a part of Major League Baseball, but it's only probably 72-75% complete, and ongoing work is continuing to fill out the statistical ledger. So things could change over time, and I don't know that we'd want, you know, something saying all-time leader, and then maybe it changes to second, and then it changes again back. You know, that would probably create a little bit more confusion overall when you take the larger viewpoint.
Yeah, a couple of things. I have seen that sign, so I know what you're talking about. It'd be a lot of work. I mean, take it down, fix that, fix this, you know, and all that. When a person goes in, yes, they get inducted at that time and what those numbers are, so that does make sense, and things change. Sometimes you retire as the all-time touchdown leader or the all-time this, the all-time that. When you think back to the records that some of those guys held in the 50s and 60s, certain categories now, they're 10th or 12th all-time, right? It's just That's how it works with change and time and numbers and all that and compilation of things. And then the other thing is, we don't want to make you work more than you have to, John. We got to peel you back a little bit on the hours, huh?
That is not what it's about. I mean, if this was, yeah, the amount of work doesn't scare us. It's more that you don't want to confuse people, and you do want to stay true to history as it was known at the time.
As it was known, yeah. Yeah, totally understand.
In that part of the museum, in the plaque gallery, we feel that's very important to stay relevant to the time of election. But again, like I said, luckily we have this entire museum, 3 floors of exhibit spaces where we can delve a little bit deeper into these changes and why they were made.
Yeah, no, that's a good way to put it. And obviously there's that section of the Negro League stats too, that it's a certain time that is implemented as well with the eras and how that league worked as well. Yeah. I've held you a couple minutes over, but I just, in the final 30 to 45 seconds, I just wanted to give you the floor. I know the induction's coming up in July and that's the obvious one, but if there's anything else you want to get out there to people, social channels, events, when they come to the museum, something new to know. I know the Hank Aaron statue thing. I'm glad you brought that up too. Anything in town, anything that you're working on. I just gave you an open maybe minute here to let people know anything that's on your mind, coming up, social channels, whatever you guys want to promote. Have the floor here for the Hall.
Yeah, thanks, Mike. It is such an exciting time right now to be here at the Hall of Fame. We are pushing out this new exhibit about Black baseball history, and it's received such rave reviews. It was just a New York Times spread earlier this week, and just people are coming through and really enjoying the exhibit. So I'd encourage folks, if they haven't been here recently, it's a great reason to come back to Cooperstown and give us a shout. I would also say, it's really the start of our busier season starting this week. And we've already have it. See, we're recording on Wednesday, and already on Monday and Tuesday, we've had 5 former major leaguers swing by the museum. And you just never know who you're going to see here. Wow. From Dustin Pedroia to Stephen Drew. Mark really? Reynolds was here. Bobby Jenks was here. And just yesterday, Miguel Cabrera was in the house. So you
really?
Just don't know what you're going to see when you come to Cooperstown, especially in the summer.
He's walking around the Great Hall going, I'll be over there.
He was with his kids' youth baseball team that swung through Cooperstown. And
really?
That's how a lot of these players end up coming by. Wow. Hall of Fame. But you just never know who's going to be here. And again, things are constantly changing. Mm-hmm. And whether you were here last summer or you haven't been here in 5, 10, 15 years, this is a great new exhibit to see. And the statue is unbelievable. It all really ties together. And, coming up next, we have a really exciting summer next year. We've already announced the next new exhibit is going to be Yaku Baseball, which is going to be a look at the Trans-Pacific Exchange of Baseball between the United States and Japan. It aligns with the first year of eligibility for the Hall of Fame for Ichiro Suzuki.
Ichiro.
So this year is really exciting. And then we're already looking at some really incredible moments that are going to be taking place next year.
Man, I can't wait. This was an awesome chat, and I knew it would be. First time on my show, I've been dying to get you on as well. John Shostakovsky, the VP of Communications and Content down there at the National Baseball Hall of Fame and Museum. Get your tickets, go to the museum, hit the induction, hit the store while you're there as well. Bring plenty of money because it's all worth buying. Trust me, the place is amazing. One of my favorite places to go in the world, Cooperstown, New York, and the Baseball Hall of Fame. John, you're the best. Thanks so much. And visit baseballhall.org and follow them on all the social channels as well. John, tip of the cap to you, buddy. I'll see you in July.
Likewise, Mike. Thanks so much for having me, and thank you for your continued support.
Fuel your day at Burn Dairy. Start with a breakfast sandwich or a Shelby donut and hot cup of coffee. Swing by for a giant deli sandwich, a burger, pizza, wings, wraps, or salad. Pick up dinner on your ride home. Plus, Burn Dairy ice cream or cookie witches for dessert. Stuck at work or at home? Burn Dairy can come to you. Download the Burn Dairy app and order all of your favorites delivered by DoorDash. Burn Dairy and Deli. It's all good.